Welcome to the Mindful Motherhood Podcast. I invite you to stop, breathe, and mindfully explore ways to better understand and manage the daily struggles of motherhood. I'm your host, Maggie Metz. Today we continue our series on birth stories with a brief mindful reflection and an interview with Kelsey Conrad about the birth of her daughter, Sawyer. Reminder, birth stories aren't always pretty. In fact, they can sometimes be quite gruesome, so please do be prepared to encounter detailed descriptions of potentially triggering topics and/or mature language. Thank you in advance, listeners, for receiving these vulnerable stories with the utmost respect and compassion for those sharing them. I sincerely hope that this series will be eye-opening, humbling, and uplifting to your spirit. I invite you now to practice a mindful reflection centered on a passage of scripture from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. If you are able, find a comfortable seated position. Roll your shoulders up, back, and down away from your ears. Close your eyes. Now begin taking deep cycles of breath, inhaling through your nose, and exhaling through your nose. Do your best to maintain these deep cycles of breath throughout the exercise. Today we are going to mindfully reflect on a passage of scripture from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. It reads, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Take a deep, cleansing breath, inhaling through your nose and exhaling through your nose, as you take notice of certain words from the passage that stand out to you. Perfect. Peace. Trust. What meaning might these words hold? How might the Holy Spirit be directing your heart through the meaning that you find? What feelings and emotions arise within as you continue to reflect? Mindfully cling to the meaning you found for a few moments. Continue deep breathing, inhaling through your nose and exhaling through your nose as you allow yourself to mindfully rest in this space for one more deep cycle of breath. Now start to bring awareness to your body. Notice how you feel seated in an upright position, the same position in which you started this exercise. Notice places where tension still resides, as well as places where tension might have been released. Gently, and without any judgment at all, compare how you feel now to how you felt at the beginning of the practice. Hopefully, after practicing this mindful reflection, you find yourself feeling more calm and centered, more mindfully present. Feel free to pause here and practice this reflection for as long as you'd like. But when you're ready to move on, take one more deep, cleansing breath and open your eyes to a soft gaze. Today we have Kelsey Conrad with us to share the birth story of her daughter, Sawyer. Kelsey is mama to three and wife to a nurse practitioner who loves fantasy football, video games, and the outdoors. She is a stay-at-home mom who works part-time at the Chic Mercantile in Marion, Indiana. Kelsey loves painting, gardening, and playing Animal Crossing with her kids. Her favorite drink is water with lemon, and her favorite fictional character is Katniss Everdeen from the Hunger Games series, because she is brave and does the right things, even when it is hard and goes against the popular opinion. Kelsey is a bright, sweet, nurturing woman, and I'm blessed to know her. I'm certain the words that she has to offer will be a blessing to you today. So, without further ado, Kelsey, welcome to the Mindful Motherhood Podcast.
Hey, Maggie. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I am pumped about this episode. I appreciate you, and I feel like you have just an encouraging spirit, and I like being around you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Glad to do this with you. So why don't you start off, though, by just telling us a little bit about your motherhood journey?
So my husband, Stephen, and I got married in 2011, mm-hmm. and then we had our first baby, Blakely, in 2013, and hers was a scheduled C-section because mm-hmm. she was breech, mm-hmm. and then we had our second, Sawyer, in 2015, and she was a VBAC, which is mm-hmm. a vaginal birth after a cesarean. Then I had a second VBAC in 2017 with Beckett.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. So three kids.
Yeah. You're not busy at all.
No,
I'm sure. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Nope. So tell us a little bit about your pregnancy with Sawyer, how you felt, and then like just carrying her, what that experience was like for you.
Yeah. So to give context to my pregnancy with Sawyer, mm-hmm. Blakely's birth, her C-section and all that went with that, was really hard for me emotionally mm-hmm. and physically. And so my pregnancy with Sawyer was filled with lots of anxiety. Mm-hmm. I was nervous about, you know, what giving birth to her would look yeah. like. I was nervous about breastfeeding. I was just really anxious about all of it, but I was also super excited. So my sister and I are 21 months apart. Mm-hmm. And my girls are 21 months apart too. Aww. And so I was really excited to see that sister bond. Yeah, I was just really excited for them to be close together. So it was kind of a mixed feeling pregnancy, excited, but also like really anxious and nervous.
Yeah, that's understandable. What was the actual birth experience like? As many details as you're willing to share, like emotional experiences that kind of were alongside of that.
So Sawyer's birth was my favorite birth. It was the most peaceful and calm. Going into labor with her, I actually went in for my 38-week appointment. I had been feeling like really nauseous the night before and mm-hmm. just didn't sleep well, didn't feel good, but I just thought it was late pregnancy. So I went in and my doctor checked me and I was 4 centimeters and my water was bulging. And so because with a VBAC, they need to monitor you the whole time mm-hmm. to monitor for like uterine rupture, which there's a very small risk of that.
Okay.
She sent me straight to the hospital and I was not prepared. I didn't have anything with me, but we mm-hmm. went over there and she broke my water at some point. I labored for a while and then she broke my water. The labor experience was 12 hours in total, I think.
Okay.
And then I had Sawyer via VBAC mm-hmm. at 3 a.m. Okay. So it was not a hard labor. Mm-hmm. I did end up getting an epidural because there is a risk of uterine rupture, I was just like really scared if something were to happen and they had to do an emergency. Mm-hmm. It's like a serious emergency and they would have to put me under if I didn't have an epidural.
Oh,
and so for me, I wanted to make sure that I was, you know, awake and present for her birth. So I did opt in for an epidural just so I could safeguard.
Yes.
In case the worst case scenario did happen, which it didn't. But yeah, it was just a really great positive birth experience.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing that like if you hadn't had an epidural, they'd put you under.
I mean, there's a chance they would have time to do a spinal or like an epidural. But my doctor did say like, if my uterus did start to rupture, they have to get her out like within minutes.
Okay.
And so
I feel like maybe I didn't know that because like some doctors wouldn't tell you that. Like they wouldn't be as thorough as that.
Well, most doctors won't do VBACs.
True.
So I, at the time when I had Sawyer in 2015, my doctor was the only doctor in the area that would actually do a VBAC for me.
Wow.
And so, and even in her practice, it was pretty rare to do VBACs still.
Okay.
She was pro VBAC, but she just wanted to inform me. So I like was really educated about my decision. And she was really pushing me to do a VBAC because she felt like I could do it. But
yeah, it's kind of something that I wish I would have like thought about more or like maybe gotten some education centered around, because my doctor, so Grayson was an emergency C-section after 15 hours of laboring. And I was like, I never want to do that again. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like wrote it off. She said I would have been a great candidate for a VBAC, which I don't even exactly know what that means, but it didn't sit with me at all. I just dismissed it and thought, no way.
Like,
I don't know why even I thought no way. It just sounded scary.
Well, I don't know if because you labored and then had the C-section, like my sister-in-law, she labored for a long time and then she ended up with an emergency C-section. Mm-hmm. And I know your body like is probably just so exhausted from laboring.
Yes.
And then C-section recovery is no joke.
Right.
So it was just coupled with that, whereas mine was scheduled. So I slept the night before, got up and showered. And it was like a very, I didn't love my C-section, but it was a more peaceful C-section. So maybe that's
that
the difference,
made a difference
there, you know?
Sure. I don't know. I guess just everybody's different. And so like maybe even with spirit let, like I know it feels like I tend to easily find disappointment in myself. Mm. And so like after the fact, I can say, man, I should have done more research and I should have been more open to it. But like, what if it was spirit led that like that just felt not doable to me?
Yeah.
And maybe I spared Malin from some type of complication that would have arisen, or myself. I don't know. And so I guess too, just to like acknowledge the fact that our gut says what our gut says for a reason.
Oh, 100%.
Most of the time.
Well, and I didn't know if I would do the VBAC till pretty close. Too,
really?
Because if Sawyer would have been breached, it would have been scheduled C-section. There were so many, but I definitely just kept praying like, God, if this is what you want me to do, let her be head down, or let all of it just kind of line up. And if this is not safe for us, then like make her breach or make it obvious to me that I need to have a C-section, and I would have willingly had one, you know?
Yeah. That's a really good posture to have. Just that like open. Like,
I mean, it's scary because you can't control it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's good.
So with my C-section with Blakely, I didn't get to hold Blakely for 3 hours after she was born.
Yeah.
And that for me was like really... It was hard to not be able to touch your baby for 3 hours.
Right.
And so to be able to do skin to skin immediately with Sawyer was just like really healing for me, because I had never had that experience before. It was just completely different.
Yeah.
And like with Blakely, I did breastfeed for a while, but I had such bad postpartum depression. I eventually had to go on like a pretty strong antidepressant and anti-anxiety medication. So I had to stop breastfeeding Blakely. And with Sawyer, I made the decision ahead of time with my doctor that instead of even trying to breastfeed, I would just go ahead and take that strong medication and just enjoy my baby instead of like putting that pressure on myself to breastfeed and all the things that go with that. And so I know that was like a really healing experience for me too.
Yeah.
For me, breastfeeding was hard in a lot of ways. There's a lot of components, but I would start to get anxious because I would feel like every time I would hold my baby, they would just want to eat. And so I never felt like I could just fully hold my baby and enjoy them and just cuddle and look at their little face. And so every time I would go to hold my baby, I would just get such bad anxiety and resentment mm-hmm. because I would feel like all they wanted was yes. to breastfeed, and I was yeah. sore and right. bleeding. And yeah. So with Sawyer, I was really able to just enjoy her without mm-hmm. that feeling of anxiety and pressure. So that was really, really good yeah. for my soul. It was hard because breastfeeding is pushed so strongly. Mm-hmm. But for me, I just had to tell myself that being able to bond to my child
yeah.
is way more important mm-hmm. than breastfeeding.
Yes.
Because if I'm resenting my child and not bonding emotionally, it yeah. doesn't matter if they get all the breast milk in the world.
Right.
Like, it is not healthy for their like emotional or mental development. And so yeah. making that decision was hard, but I feel like it was the best one.
Yeah, because your connection with them is the most important, mm-hmm. not what they're eating.
No. And you can snuggle and bond so well with bottle feeding too. Yes. You know, it's all yes. about like connecting and looking in their eyes.
Right. And they'll grab your hand yes. when it's holding the bottle.
Exactly. Like, oh, and yeah. I did lots of skin to skin, even when I didn't breastfeed. I remember the nurses actually mm-hmm. after my golden hour with Sawyer, they went to weigh her and stuff. And because she was a new baby, she was like cold, and they automatically just put her under the warming light. And I was like, can I just do skin to skin? Because it helps regulate the temperature.
Right.
And they're like, oh, but you're not breastfeeding. And I'm like, yeah, but
it's still important.
I know. And so they were like, okay. And so they gave her to me, and I did skin to skin the whole time yeah. in the hospital, like postpartum. And even when I would feed with a bottle, I would right. try to do skin to skin and exactly. feed with a bottle. So,
well, and that's what they tell the dad to do. Like,
I know.
Even if they're giving a bottle of breast milk, have them skin to skin.
Exactly.
So, like, why would that be weird?
No. And my children are like all very healthy, very smart, mm-hmm. very emotional. I mean, they're kids. But
yes,
obviously,
yeah.
bonding with him
yes.
was the right choice. So.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so great. Is there anything else you want to, I know you touched on it a little bit, but anything else you want to highlight specifically about the first time you held her? And I guess kind of like even differentiating it from Blakely, because it was like immediately after she was born.
Mm-hmm. And I think with Blakely too, I think they had given me some kind of like sedative slash like relaxing medication with my C-section. And mm-hmm. so while it was 3 hours before I even got to hold her, mm-hmm. I don't even have memories mm-hmm. of her first 24 hours just because of the medication. Yeah. And with Sawyer, I remember like every second from the time she was born.
Yeah.
And so even that contrast mm-hmm. was huge for me. It just really healed a lot of like sadness and longing that I had from my first birth
yeah.
that I feel like I missed out on,
mm-hmm.
which I hate even saying because I love Blakely.
Yes,
and her birth experience was, you know, magical in its own way. And she's my first.
Right.
And but yeah, it just healed a lot of things.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you said that specifically, like people who like me. I don't even quite know what VBAC stands for, but count me out mm-hmm. if it means like mm-hmm. unpredictability mm-hmm. or that things could go bad.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully those people will hear that and just hear one positive story.
Yeah. Like, well, my sister, she's actually 35 weeks pregnant right now mm-hmm. with her second, and she's going to try for a VBAC. Her first was breech mm-hmm. And actually really premature at 31 yeah. weeks. And so she had a C-section
yeah.
and she's doing a VBAC. And I was just talking to her on the phone and telling her, like, don't read online because it's mm-hmm. like reviews for products, right? Like if you're
yeah.
unhappy with the product, you're more likely to go online, complain
right.
about it, tell everyone what's wrong with it. And
yeah.
I think the same thing is true for a VBAC. It's the percentage of people that have had like the most horrible experiences
right.
and understandably so emotionally upset, but
yes.
they get on there to warn others, which
right.
is great. We need to be educated,
mm-hmm.
but there's not a lot of positive
right.
on there, which then it's hard to stay in a positive mindset for
mm-hmm.
yourself. Yeah.
How did you do that? How did you stay in a positive mindset?
I don't know.
Faith.
yeah.
I'm
I kept
so
telling
spiritual.
Myself. So the percent for a uterine rupture for a VBAC is the exact, I think it's like, it's either 2% or 0.2%. It's a very small number,
mm-hmm.
but it's the same odds for induction of any kind or
mm-hmm.
like the use of Pitocin. And I feel mm-hmm. like majority of births now are induced
mm-hmm.
and the risk of uterine rupture is the same exact
mm-hmm.
for that birth as it is a VBAC.
Wow.
And so reading that, I just kept telling myself, like, doctors will do that stuff willingly.
Yeah.
And it's so small. So like, what
right.
is stopping me from trying it? this small. And yeah. my doctor monitored me the whole time. And mm-hmm. she told me, because I was worried, and she said that there's something with the baby's heart rate, like after contractions, like mm-hmm. it either stays low or it stays high. And that kind of tells them that something is going wrong with the uterus. So they can usually like get ahead of it before it's like, I mean, obviously there's those circumstances where it's like.
Yeah. Bad. Sudden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But don't get me wrong. I was anxious, but
yes,
it was worth it for me to try.
Yeah. Oh, I love that perspective. And I feel like that is just good to hear. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Describe the days and weeks following Sawyer's birth, what the recovery was like, and anything that you would have done differently or that you're just like super glad that it happened that way, looking back.
The recovery was, I feel like, my best recovery. It was my easiest. Obviously, a C-section recovery is, in my opinion, much harder than a vaginal recovery. But also, Stephen was in between his bachelor's and master's degree. And so mm-hmm. he was able to take 2 weeks off just to be fully present with our family. Mm-hmm. And with Blakely, he was, like, we had her at the end of his fourth year of college, but like it's technically his junior year. And so, I mean, he was in the thick of school and working full time. And then with Beckett, he was in his master's program. Mm-hmm. So her birth or her postpartum period was the only time that we had a baby. He was not in school. And so to be able to like really enjoy that was so nice. We both have positive memories of that and just watching movies late at night and relaxing.
That's a beautiful time that you had together. Mm-hmm. So what is Sawyer like now, and how maybe was her birth story any kind of a reflection of who she is now?
Yeah, so Sawyer is probably the stereotypical middle child that you would think of. She's funny. Mm-hmm. She is so sweet. She's so smart. She says the funniest, like most random things. always keeps us laughing. She's also very shy and reserved around unfamiliar people. She's really, really struggled with finding her voice even at school. Like adults just really overwhelm her and intimidate her. But when she's comfortable, she's so fun and so funny and so loving. But yeah, her birth to me was joyful. And so I feel like her personality, and I guess there was anxiety in her. In her birth, and she does have some anxiety. I don't know. Maybe I'm connecting too many dots, but
no.
Yeah. I mean, she is joyful, and her birth was joyful, and she's just great.
She's awesome.
She is.
So what resources and or words of encouragement can you offer to other mamas listening today?
I just want to recognize that a VBAC isn't for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I want anyone who's listening to know that I am not approaching this with thinking if they chose to have a scheduled C-section that they're less brave or less of a mom or, you know, we all make decisions for our bodies and for our babies with like the information we have, you know, and what feels best to us. And like you said, maybe it is spirit led. And so adoption, surrogacy, VBAC, C-section, like all the ways you can become a mom is so brave. And it's all very personal and special. And so obviously, if you're interested in VBAC, I would talk to your doctor, and your doctor will know your body the best. But if you do choose to schedule a C-section, like, that is awesome too.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's just what is best.
Mm-hmm.
So
for sure. Yeah, yeah. That release is kind, because I mean, I so wanted a at least one VBAC story, because I know there are positive stories out there.
Yeah.
You just don't always hear them.
No.
Because birth stories aren't often shared, especially like on a platform, but like even amongst friends, it's like, hey, I'm Maggie. Here's what it was like when I had Yeah, exactly. So I'm just thankful that you're willing to share and the fact that it's a positive story. But also that I think you release that, like, it's not the ideal birth, like the ideal birth post cesarean is not VBAC.
Right.
It's just one option.
Right. And I think I probably would have had a great birth if I had had a scheduled C-section with Sawyer. Even choosing not to breastfeed, you know, would have made a difference with C-section recovery for me.
Right.
So I do think I would have had a healing birth. You know, I could have maybe asked for less medication. Like, I know I could have had a great birth either way. But for me, the VBAC experience was healing.
Yep.
But I also know that for some, it might cause too much anxiety, which mm-hmm. is also not healthy. And right. so it's yeah. fine to schedule a C-section too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. There's no right or wrong.
No.
Kelsey, thanks so much for chatting with me today and just for sharing a little piece of your motherhood journey with us.
Thanks for having me. It was super fun to talk with you. Mm-hmm. As always, I enjoy our conversations.
Me too, sister.
Thanks for listening and for taking the time to pause and turn inward today. It is so important to remember to take care of yourself in the midst of caring for everyone else. A special thanks to Kelsey for being willing to share with us about her journey of motherhood. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss a single mindful moment. For more mindful motherhood content, you can find me on Instagram at Maggie Metz. Until next time, be mindful, Mama.